Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. No matter how you slice it, this was a disappointing season for the Minnesota Timberwolves, regressing by four games despite the big Rudy Gobert acquisition. But what were the three very specific most disappointing parts of this season? And why did things shake out that way? Can they be better in these areas next year? We'll break it all down on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody, and a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. This show is free and available everywhere you listen to podcasts. That includes YouTube and whatever your favorite audio platform is, you can find Locked On Wolves. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at my account, which is at bbeacon. And that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, today on the show, want to talk the three biggest disappointments of the season, not counting the Karl-Anthony Towns injury, three on-court, issues that were persistent throughout the year and in my mind, pretty much primarily to blame for, you know, the team actually getting worse after such a big offseason a year ago. So that's what we'll do today on the show. A quick aside, though, tomorrow on the show, very excited to have the incomparable Howard Beck on the program on Friday, and really excited for that conversation to talk all things Wolves, to get his take. Of course, he's written for the New York Times, Sports Illustrated, Bleacher Report, longtime podcaster, et cetera. All the accolades for Howard Beck are phenomenal. So excited to have him as part of the Locked On family and have him on the show Friday. So please be sure to tune into Friday's show. We'll get that up early on Friday on all platforms, again, YouTube as well as all the audio platforms. Let's get to today's show. That is breaking down these disappointments this season. Again, not including the Karl-Anthony Towns injury. We're not including, that would be the one that really that's off the table, because clearly that's the number one thing, because missing, like, I think we should acknowledge it because I don't want that to get missed in this whole thing. And I think nationally, there's a lot of things about the national narrative about the Wolves that just kind of are what they are. But it's easy to miss that because everyone's so obsessed with Anthony Edwards and everyone's obsessed with the idea of the Rudy Gobert trade. And I understand all of that, but Karl-Anthony Towns still really, really good player, and he missed 52 straight games. He's a three-time All-Star, multi-time All-NBA player, and he just missed the entire, like, middle two-thirds of the season. So that matters. So, yeah, I get it. Like, on its face, that's probably the chief reason they regressed from 46 wins to 42 wins. But they still should have been better with Towns out, and they should have been better early in the season with Towns on the floor. They were, 10-11 when he got injured. So there's still some other things that were issues, clearly. So let's start here. Let's point at Rudy Gobert. And I, again, want to be very clear. So hear what I'm saying here. Rudy Gobert still had a good season by almost any measure. Rudy Gobert was solid. He was an above average player. He was really good in a lot of ways. But the problem with Rudy Gobert is that his performance, like, sure, the trade is crazy, so there's that. But even if he hadn't been traded, like, say he had this exact same season with the Utah Jazz, it would have been a good season for Rudy Gobert relative to his past performance, relative to the expectations of what Rudy Gobert can provide. And that's setting aside the fact that the Wolves gave up a true king's ransom for him in a trade. I mean, like, we talked about this with the Rudy Gobert review the other day, but Rudy had the lowest points per game total he's had in five seasons. He had his lowest rebound total in five seasons, like going back to before he was ever an All-Star. He had blocks per game, his lowest mark since his rookie year when he was a part-time bench player, played 10 minutes per game. So if you look at it from a block rate perspective, because the minutes were so low as a rookie, this was easily the worst block rate of his career. Again, worst rebound rate in the last 5 years as well. Even like shooting the ball, on its face, even a center, like, shooting 66% for the field is fine. Like, that's good. Rudy hasn't shot this was his worst shooting season in 5 years as well. You have to go all the way back to 17-18 to find numbers that were as poor as they were this season. So regardless of what team he's on, that's a disappointing performance relative to career expectations. And the big red flag here is that he's now 30 years old. He turns 31 here in a few weeks, in late June. And there's a lot of factors here. Obviously, change of scenery for the first time in his career. Fitting with Carl Anthony Towns for the first 21 games and final 8 games of the regular season. That still doesn't explain him not figuring something out in those 52 games without Carl Anthony Towns, right? Like, on some level, whether it was with D'Angelo Russell, which obviously never happened, or with Mike Conley, who he was very familiar with, there should have been a Rudy renaissance at some point during the season where he showed some level of comfortability without Carl Anthony Towns on the floor. That never happened either. But understanding that the reintegration with Towns, the fact that he's changed scenery for the first time in his career, the fact that he's now 30, we have to talk about that. There's also the Eurobasket piece, right? Last summer, he played Eurobasket and was like consumed with that, like got to the U.S. later, got, you know, took some time off and like was ramped up slower in training camp preseason, was rusty at the beginning of the year, actually looked more worn down than rusty. That's probably a better way to say it. And then he had this kind of bump in the middle of the season where he looked a little bit more like what Wolves fans were expecting when the Wolves acquired Rudy. And I'm not listing these things to provide excuses as much as to provide context, because again, I say this a lot on the show, both can be true. We don't need to overreact and say, oh, you're making all these excuses like Rudy should have been better. Yeah, he should have been. These are reasons why possible reasons as to why perhaps he was not as good as we expected him to be. At the same time, we could be disappointed with his performance. That's the whole point of this segment. Is Rudy Gobert is disappointing this season. There's no way around that. He's one of the biggest disappointments. And we have to factor in, I know I took this off the table at the start of the show, we have to factor in what the Wolves gave up for him. 4 first-round picks, you know, the pick swaps, Walker Kessler, Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, go on down the list. That also matters. But my point was, you take that off the table, and here's the reasons why it was still a disappointing season. Now, looking forward, this was year one, right? That's the bright side. This was the first go at it. Carl Anthony Towns missed the middle two-thirds of the season. They barely played together in preseason and training camp because of Eurobasket, because of the Cat. Remember, this was easy to forget, too. Cat was sick in training camp and lost a bunch of weight, barely played. Rudy was still, you know, worn down from Eurobasket. Like, it was a disjointed start to the season. So all those factors matter when we evaluate what this could look like moving forward. They're not excuses so much as they are context. And in my opinion, encouraging context as to why this could be better come this fall. I think Rudy and Kat will be better together. And I also thought their chemistry together, I know the two-man numbers were not outstanding, but the chemistry together on the floor, the eye test would tell us that was far better than the chemistry we saw from Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert, certainly than D'Angelo Russell and Rudy Gobert. So I think there's some high-low passing capability or potential there. I think there's a lot of what the Jazz did, and I've said this a lot on the show, but running a lot of stuff with Rudy in the middle of the floor, Kat off the ball. And I don't think it's going to be wasting Kat, because Bogdanović scored a lot, got a lot of three-point attempts in Utah, and Kat's more dynamic with the pump fake and drive than Bogdanović. Kat can cut for a big. He's a good cutter. And also, when Rudy's off the floor in those, you know, 16, 18 minutes a game where he's off the floor, I mean, Kat should be your number one option. Like, one of those guys should always be on the floor. So they're only going to play together 12 to 16 minutes a game anyway. So when Rudy's off the floor, you're running everything through Carl Anthony Towns. When Rudy's on the floor, you're running Ant Rudy actions if they can figure it out. You're running Conley Gobert actions with Edwards off the ball, Kat off the ball. There's so much potential there still that I'm not necessarily, quote unquote, worried. Now, if Rudy turns in a similar season and the Wolves win 42, 44 games even next year, that's disappointing. Minnesota's got to make a run at 50 wins. They've got to make a run at the top four in the West. The pressure is really on now on the on-court, the actual players and the coaching staff, Chris Finch specifically, to make this work. There's no way around it. Rudy Gobert had a disappointing first season in Minnesota, and that to me was the number one most disappointing thing about the Wolves season. All right. Two more disappointing things about the Timberwolves season to get to. We'll do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Thanks once again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. A reminder to the everydayers that tomorrow on Friday, Howard Beck, the award-winning journalist, will be on the program. Of course, wrote for a long time for the New York Times, also Los Angeles Daily News. He's been at Sports Illustrated. He recently co-hosted the crossover podcast with Chris Mannix, a long history of being one of the best NBA minds in the country, the world, right? So we're excited to have Howard Beck on the show to talk specifically Timberwolves on Friday. Be sure to tune into that show. All right, continuing the conversation about what's been most disappointing about the Timberwolves, or what was most disappointing this season. We talked about Rudy Gobert. The second thing for me would be the end of the rotation minutes. And I know there's probably 24 NBA teams that could point to the end of their rotation and just kind of gripe about, like, hey, we could have improved it. There's a reason why there's a market for buyouts, right? A midseason buyout market. There's a reason why teams are looking for these trades, these 10-day guys, et cetera. A lot of that, though, has to do with injuries. And I'm pointing to guys that the Wolves expected to be big pieces of their rotation having disappointing seasons. We came into this season knowing effectively who the top six guys in some order were going to be, and that mostly turned out to be the case, you know, save for the Towns injury. So, you know, Edwards, Towns, D'Lo slash Conley, like, I'll combine those two. Gobert, McDaniels, Kyle Anderson, right? Like, that was going to be your top six. Your next guys in terms of expectations off the bench, like, coming into the season, that's your, assuming Kyle Anderson is your sixth man, you're then thinking Jalen Noel. You're thinking Jordan McLaughlin is your backup point guard, and Torian Prince are your next three. Naz Reid was probably the ninth or tenth guy. Remember, there were some DNP CDs for Naz early in the season before the Towns injury where he just didn't see the floor. Those were supposed to be your top 10 guys. Bryn Forbes and Austin Rivers kind of shared like the 10th, 11th spot in the rotation. But those were your top 11 guys. Your top six is pretty much set. And then your next three, because again, you weren't expecting this from Naz, and Naz obviously was very good, but these other key bench guys are Torian Prince, Jalen Noel, and Jordan McLaughlin in some order. And they all had subpar seasons for the Timberwolves. I've done player reviews on all of them. If you missed those shows, go back. The last 2 weeks were mostly player reviews, so you could go back and listen to shows. I did, I think, like a half show on Noel and Prince and a little bit less than that on... I guess I did about a segment on each of those guys. So you could go back and find those shows here in recent weeks. But, I mean, quickly, what was most disappointing... I would say Jordan McLaughlin in general. Now, he was hurt a lot too, and you know, a lot of the numbers would suggest he still had a pretty decent season, but he was really good before his injury, the first, call it, 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Had another couple good weeks like in mid-March, but right after the injury return and the end of the season and the playoffs were all miserable for Jordan McLaughlin. It just was a bad year. They will have an option for him for next year for a little over $2 million. I think he'll be back because that's such a bargain if he plays anything close to what he was in October or for a lot of the season prior. You know, playing over D'Angelo Russell in an elimination game against Memphis in the first round last season. Like, that's a bargain, right? Even like, you bring him in, you find a contingency plan, maybe he's your third point guard. But I think he's back on the team. It was just a disappointing season for Jordan McLaughlin. There's no two ways about that. And I don't know there's much else to say. Now, again, he only played 43 games because of the injury, and I get that. And perhaps that had something to do with the struggles after he returned. But again, no two ways about it. A disappointing season for Jordan McLaughlin. Torian Prince is a bit of a trickier one because he actually shot the ball really well. But my problem with Prince this season is he didn't do much else very well at all. So yeah, he shot 38% for the field, which was his, you know, better than he shot the ball last year. It was more in line with how he shot the ball a couple years ago when he split it between Brooklyn and Cleveland. Really good catch and shoot. You know, like that was great. I thought he was, for the most part, was present. There were some injury issues, I guess. And then he had the illness. He had some personal issues. There was some on and off the court stuff. that hampered him a little bit. But the biggest thing with him is his rebound rate was the worst of his career, and the Wolves were expecting him to do more in that regard. And he slid down and played more three this year than the four. I mean, because the Wolves were just bigger, right? Everybody essentially bumped down a notch in terms of the lineup, not the rotation, but the lineup. So he played more three than he did four. But the expectations were still there that he'd rebound like he did as a four, and that just didn't happen. You saw his rebound rate dip almost 2 full points. I thought defensively he looked a step slow for much of the season. That's harder to quantify. Defensive metrics would back that up. But you go and watch Torian Prince possessions when he's guarding top flight offensive players, and the Wolves were hoping he could, you know, stem the tide if Jaden McDaniels is on the bench with foul trouble or taking a breather. That didn't really happen. He struggled defensively. He also had the highest turnover rate that he's had since his rookie season. With the ball in his hands, he created a little bit last year as a point forward in 21-22. Wasn't as comfortable doing that in 22-23. And you know, those are all kind of smaller things, but together they added up to what I thought was a little bit of a disappointing season for Torian. The Wolves have an option on him for next year as well, or I should say his contract's non-guaranteed. They have to make the choice for like right after the draft. He's on the books for, what, $7.6 million next year? That's not a bad price for Torian Prince. And my hunch is he'll be back. They could always also guarantee the contract and then trade him later in the offseason if they want to. But I believe they really like him as a locker room influence and what he brings from a toughness perspective. And also, he did shoot. This is a team that struggled from three for a good chunk of the season. And Prince was 38%. And in theory, he's a big body that can be switchable, flexible, versatile on defense. So I think he's going to be back, but I thought this was a disappointing all-around season for Torian Prince coming on the heels of a really strong first season in Minnesota for Torian. And then Jalen Nowell, who's the most disappointing of them all. I touted Jalen Nowell as a potential Sixth Man of the Year candidate before the season because 2 years ago, and this doesn't change what he did 2 years ago, he was really, really good. 21-22, he was fantastic off the bench for the Wolves. Shot a bunch of threes, shot at 39% for three, got to the line. I was talking about his game as a hybrid, and I still think this is true in terms of his style. A hybrid D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, where he does a little bit that each of those guys do. You know, obviously not what either of those guys are, and certainly not this year. But I thought offensively he was enough of a threat that he could come off the bench and be that prototypical sixth man scorer type, right? Like not exactly Jamal Crawford, but that type of idea, right? And he did come in the games to shoot the ball a lot. He had a 25% usage rate, which is a monster number. You look at the Wolves roster, that's only behind Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns in terms of usage rate. A higher usage rate, slightly higher than Nas, higher than D'Angelo Russell's was. That is a huge usage rate because his role was to come into the game and score. Chris Finch talked about him last offseason as a big part of the Wolves. I forget the exact words, but he was lumping him in with Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards as part of this team's future. And now he's an unrestricted free agent. And I don't know that anyone's going to give him more than the minimum based on his season this year. I mean, his 3-point percentage plummeted from 39.4% to 28.9%. It plummeted by 10.5%. And yeah, the volume went way up because he just shot the ball a lot more. But in terms of the rate of threes, it actually went down because he shot so many more twos this year than he did the year prior. He struggled a little bit at the rim. He shot a little too much for the mid-range, even though he's a good mid-range shooter. And he just didn't get to the line as much. His free throw rate was much, much better last season than it was this year. The biggest issue, though, again, was he just didn't make the threes that he took. And that was most concerning. And then he's still a bad defender. That hasn't changed. He's been a bad defender since day one in the NBA. And while the effort level might have improved slightly over his first two seasons, the last 2 years, he's still struggled defensively. And I thought he regressed a little bit this year. And I don't know if it's the offensive issues, the missing the threes, if that carried over into his defense. But that was disappointing. And so now you're talking about, you know, we'll call Nas number 7 in the rotation because that's what he ended up being. But guys that you're expecting to be 7, 8, 9 in your rotation who ended up being 8, 9, and 10. And now you're relying on Bryn Forbes, who was waived midway through the season, and Austin Rivers, who shouldn't have really been getting rotation minutes and then ended up getting injured as well. There were some spot minutes for Josh Mina and Wendell Moore, the rookies in the rotation, because these guys were so disappointing. Now, Noel had some injury issues towards the end of the year. We talked about Prince's and McLaughlin. So these guys were a little bit in and out of the lineup, which can help explain away some of the issues. But again, it doesn't change the fact that the three of them collectively were disappointing this year. Now the Wolves are going into the offseason looking for backup point guard. With Nas's free agency, they're looking for another backup big. Do they have enough shooting out of the trio of Prince, McLaughlin, and well, Noel, I don't think we'll be back. But they didn't get quite enough there, right? McLaughlin and Noel both struggled for three-point range. Do they have enough defense? I thought they all struggled defensively this year. They all struggled on the glass this year. So Tim Connelly has an assignment to replace those guys' minutes in an effective way this summer because they were absolutely disappointing this year. All right, one more thing to get to in terms of the disappointing 22-23 season for the Wolves. All right, one more thing in terms of a disappointing season for Minnesota, and this is a bit of a broader team issue than specific players who I've pretty much covered to this point, and that's team rebounding, and I'll lump in with this transition defense. These were the two biggest issues for the Wolves across the season. When you know I'd preview a matchup between any two teams, those would be the issues I'd look at. They turned the ball over a bunch too, and that wasn't great. Like they were 28th in turnover rate this year, but I mean, with the pace the Wolves were trying to play, and honestly, they actually ended up only seventh in pace, but they were trying to play faster. Like, that was an issue. But I want to key in on the rebounding and on the transition defense because, to me, well, for a couple reasons. One, that was a focus of last offseason, was to try and improve the team's rebounding, and they simply couldn't do it. So that's a big reason why I'm focusing on that. And transition defense, so much of it is just simply about want to. And there's a coaching element to it, too. But, like, I mean, how to defend in transition, there's nuances that are different, right? These guys are professionals, but the concept isn't all that different from when you start learning transition defense in like middle school to the NBA. It's get back, stop the ball, talk. Like those are kind of the main pieces of it, right? It doesn't change all that much, except for now guys are pulling up from three more than getting to the rim. So sure, you want to defend the three-point line. But that's the bigger issue with the transition defense. It's simply an effort thing. And it's a communication thing, right? Like, I've got ball, you take mine, whatever it is, just talk and get back. And early in the season, it was, you know, D'Lo not getting back or whatever. There's issues with, like, Naz Reid falls over on, like, every third offensive possession. That's hardly an exaggeration. Cat, when he was healthy, kind of the same thing. Ant complaining to officials and not getting back. Sometimes Ant doing the Andrew Wiggins circa Minnesota years thing where he's in no man's land. I wouldn't say he floats for possessions like Wiggins would. Like, that was the term. I want to say Flip Saunders even said that about Andrew Wiggins, that he has a tendency to float sometimes. I think it was Flip. I hate to misquote him, but I think it was him. I don't think Ant has that problem. I think he shoots it, and then he just kind of forgets to get back, and he's thinking maybe it's not a possession he's floating. It's like after he shoots the ball, he lingers at the three-point line, doesn't commit to an offensive rebound, and doesn't get back. And 90% of the time, he should just get back, right? Or go chase the guy who's contesting and releasing. Ant shoots so many deep threes on pull-ups. Opponents were contesting and releasing and knowing they could almost cherry-pick against the Wolves is what that turns into because they don't get back, because they don't have that recognition. That's an awareness thing. It's a recognition thing. It's a hustle thing. It's an effort and communication thing. And that, to me, also reflects on the coaches. Even if the actual concept isn't that complicated and it's something they've been doing for, you know, 10, 12, 15 plus years as basketball players, it reflects on the coaching staff for not getting their guys to perform better in that area. And that was a consistent issue. Rebounding, to me, is even more concerning because the Wolves had a very specific focus on improving their defensive rebounding last offseason. They acquired the league's leader in defensive rebound rate last season in Rudy Gobert, and they started two centers in their starting lineup for, you know, however many games Cat was healthy, 29 games, right? And they still finished 26th in defensive rebound rate. 74.3% this year was their defensive rebound rate, meaning that more than a quarter of the time when there was an available rebound on defense, the opponent was able to grab it. Now, they were slightly worse than last year rate-wise. They were one spot better in league ranking. They were 26th instead of 27th. But they still grabbed more rebounds by rate last year, 74.9%, barely, than they did this year. And for that to be the case, when you're essentially swapping out, basically Jared Vanderbilt for Rudy Gobert, and obviously Vanderbilt is a good rebounder. Pound for pound, he's a very good rebounder. He's still undersized, and he's a better offensive rebounder than he is defensive. You plug Rudy Gobert in, you slide Towns down to the four, and you just assume, like, hey, we're going to be much better rebounding the basketball this year. That didn't happen. And I said this the other day on the show. I said this specifically in Edwards player review. This isn't on Anthony Edwards. Like, Anthony Edwards actually had his best rebounded season of his career easily. Now, he still should be better, and I said this too. He was only a 9% total rebound rate, under 16% defensive rebound rate. That number should be much higher, but it was much improved over his first two seasons in the league. I think Kyle Anderson should have been a little better on the glass. I think Kat should have been better when he was healthy on the glass. The biggest culprits, again, though, are those fringe rotation guys and the guards, right? It's Taurean Prince, who had a career worst rebound rate. It's D'Angelo Russell, who isn't a great rebounder and didn't show much effort on the glass early in the season. Jordan McLaughlin's got to be better. Austin Rivers had a 4.6% rebound rate, which was only higher than Matt Ryan and Bryn Forbes. Bryn Forbes doesn't do anything but shoot, and he only played 25 games. Matt Ryan doesn't do anything but shoot. He only played 3.7 games, or he played 22 games, had a 3.7% rebound rate. Austin Rivers was a miserable rebounder this season. But you expect more out of the Taurean Princes. You expect more out of the Jalen Noels. You expect more out of the Nikhil Alexander Walkers on the glass. They've all got to have rebound rates better than 7%, and they didn't. Jaden McDaniels also. Now, it's a little different with him. I can make excuses because of the defensive assignments he has, and he's on the perimeter so often, so that's part of it. But you'd still like to see that number be higher. Even though he's exerting a ton of energy playing defense, I mean, he's a big human and he's athletic. He's active. He's got to have a higher than 7.1% rebound rate. So it's a team issue, right? Rebounding is a team issue. Rudy Gobert was good on the glass. He still led the team in rebound rate, but it was still the lowest rebound rate he's had, again, say it with me, in five seasons, going back to the first segment. 21.2% rebound rate. Hasn't been below 21% since 2017-18. And he still played. Like, you could say, oh, well, he played with another seven-footer. Well, no. I mean, Towns missed 52 straight games, right? Rudy played in 53 games without Karl Anthony Towns this year. So, like, those numbers should have been higher. They should have been better. But it's a full-team issue. Even though it's related to the Gobert thing, it's a philosophy. It's effort. Again, similar to fast breaks, right? So much of rebounding is effort. Yeah, there's technique. There's positioning. There's understanding angles. There's understanding boxing out personnel. Like, it's a little bit on the coaching staff, but like, just try hard, right? Like, I don't know. That's simple. It should be try hard, rebound better. That's another issue from the season. All right. Friday show. It'll be a bit sunnier than today. Today was a bit doom and gloom. Friday show again. So excited to have Howard back on the show and going to ask him some questions. We're going to talk Naz Reid free agency. We're going to talk Karl Anthony Towns. You know, should the Wolves trade him? Might they trade him? What's the chatter there? We will talk the season overall. Like, Howard's overall perspective as somebody who covers all 30 teams on how should we feel about this season? How should we feel about regressing from 46 to 42 wins for the Wolves? So Howard's going to stop by on Friday. We'll talk about that. It'll post early on all platforms. So be sure to check that out. A big thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, you can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also watch on YouTube. The Howard episode, like every episode, will be on YouTube. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. And you can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.